Okay, we're holding over here where we're discussing end-of-life issues. And we're going to be discussing first an interesting question as we, in our booklet that we have over here, which is labeled Inyonim L'Soif Chayav, Misas Chesed, Euthanasia. That booklet we started last week, we'll continue this week in Blineder, finish up. So what we talked about last week was the value of human life, that we as Yidden believe that even a person who is not enjoying this world, they're suffering from pain or sickness, their life matters as well. And there is no permission for us to kill them or to end their life. We don't believe in euthanasia as Jews because we value every moment of life. The halacha is that we would even violate the Shabbos to save the life of a person who is not necessarily going to live that much longer because we value Jewish life. What we're going to start beginning to discuss, and we'll go this way first, is what can we do for a patient who is terminally ill and is suffering immensely? What can we do? So we know we can't kill them. We can't smother them with a pillow. We can't inject them with medication that will kill them. But what can we do? What does the Torah allow? And this is sometimes a very, very difficult question that family members have to deal with when they have loved ones that are in terminally ill and extreme amounts of pain. What can we do for them from a halachic standpoint? So we're going to first discuss an interesting shayla. Is it okay, and maybe even a mitzvah, to daven for them to die? It sounds perhaps very non-Jewish, but as we'll see, that's a very strong possibility. If one has a family member, a friend, a neighbor, who is terminally ill, or they're very ill, and they're very uncomfortable, and they're suffering immensely, and perhaps for them the greatest thing would be to die. But because we don't have the right to kill them, are we allowed to daven for them to die? Or would that be considered something very, very halachically, hashkafically, morally incorrect? So there's a Gemara in Nedarim, we're on page 2 of the booklet that starts off in Yonim L'Seif Chayav. Again, there's two booklets to see tonight. I don't know if we'll get to all of them, but at least you can take home for yourself to have as Maram Mekarim. So there's a Gemara in Nedarim, Daf Mem. The Gemara in Nedarim, Daf Mem, source number 7 on page 2, is discussing Bikur Cholim. So the Gemara says a comment, anyone who visits the sick, he causes him to live. He causes the patient to die. Says the Gemara, my grandma, what does it mean to cause? If it means that whenever you go visit someone, you should daven that he should get better. And if you don't go to visit him, so you don't daven that he gets better. Says the Gemara, I didn't kill him. Anyone who doesn't visit the sick, he does not daven for him, not that he should get better, and not that he should die. So there's one more Gemara. We'll come back to this Gemara. There's Gemara in Ksubis. The Gemara tells us in Ksubis and Afkav Dalam and Aleph when Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was very sick. So the Gemara tells us like this: the day that Rabbi died, the Rabbanim made a tainis. They said, anyone who says Rabbi already died, anyone who spreads false rumors that Rabbi already died, which would then cause the tefillah to decrease, because if they heard it's already over, there's no impetus to push the davening. So yatka b'cheh, they should be killed with a sword. We need full-blown 24/7 davening to save Rabbi's life. Says the Gemara, Slika amsa de Rebbe. So what happened was the maidservant of Rebbe went up to the roof. Amra, she said, El Yoinim Vakshim is Rebbe. The El Yoinim, the Malachim, the world above, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wants Rebbe. Vatachtoinim Vakshim is Rebbe. But we in this world want Rebbe. Yihiratzon Shiyakufu Vatachtoinim Es El Yoinim. Shabi Hashem's will that we, the bottom people, should force, we should win the top people, we should beat out the decree to Rebbe to die. Says the Gemara, "Kiven the Chazoi Kamazim the Ayla Beis Akise v'cholat Tzvilin u'manachluhu." Rebbe had a stomach ailment, and the Amsa, his maidservant, saw how annoying and stressful it was for Rebbe to have to constantly take off his tefillin to go to the bathroom because of his stomach condition. The Kamitzar, and he was very uncomfortable. Amr, she said, "No, Yiratzin sheyakofu al yoyin mestachtaydim." She said, "No, I switched my request. I'd rather that the Malachim, the world above, wins." i.e. that Rebbe dies. Says the Gemara, rachmi. The problem was Rabbanim was still davening. So her tefillah didn't have any power. So shakle kuza, she took a vase, shadre mi'igal aro, she threw it from the top to the bottom, she made a commotion, ishtaku, everyone was quiet, mi'rachmi from davening, v'noach nafshi de Rebbe. And Rebbe davened. This is a very, very important Gemara, very, very relevant for our sugi. So what was the story? Amsa de Rebbe switched her prayer. Originally she davened that Rebbe should live. And then she said, you know what, I see he's so uncomfortable, let's switch it up. Let's allow Rebbe to die. But the problem was the Talmidim were still davening. So she had to get the Talmidim to stop davening. So she created a commotion. They stopped davening. She inserted her tefillah that Rebbe should die, and Rebbe died. Says the Ran in the Darim number 8. Nira be'enai. Da'achi komar. Says the Ran in the Darim, sometimes you need to daven for a chayla that he should die. If the patient is under a lot of stress, distressed, and he can't live. Says the Ran in the Darim, this Gemara in Ksubas is a raya that sometimes the best thing to do is to daven, not for a recovery, to daven that he should die. Because that's what's best for him. The patient is suffering. The patient is not happy. The patient is not going to get better. So for him to drag out life is not a benefit. So instead, daven that the person should die. Says the Ran, this Gemara in Ksubis. And he says, and that's Pshat the Gemara over here in Nedarim. So this is an unbelievable Chiddush. The Ran in Nedarim saying that what a person should daven. If a person comes across a person who's terminally ill, I happen to have a neighbor of mine who has ALS. There's no cure as of now for ALS. And it's a nebuch to watch this person who was once a very active member of society, active member of the community, and now he knows what's going on, but he can't communicate. So the assumption is that's not a very pleasurable way. So what should we do? So we should daven, maybe we should daven, they should come up with a cure for ALS. Perhaps. But until that time, if let's say someone has a relative, a family member, or a friend that is in terrible suffering, so again, you can't smother them with a pillow, we don't believe in euthanasia and halacha, we don't give medication. But you can daven perhaps, again perhaps, I'm not saying Allah HaLamaisa, this Abu Paskim, we'll develop that tonight. But according to the Ran and Durham, you know you should daven, not that they should get better. Daven, they should die. It sounds so antithesis of Jewish value, but it's a Ran and Durham. The Ran and Durham says, based on the Gemara and Ksubis, that we should, and we'll see some say it's a mitzvah, if a person comes across a patient who's deathly ill, and he's in a lot of pain, and there's nothing to do for him, we should daven that he should actually die. So I found over here a sefer, Ohare Nenu, where he writes this, number 9, he writes, Omnan Tzarechin, Lefi Divi Aran, Hayim Mutal L'chal HaShabbos, Al Chayla Kazesh Yisrach L'Tzpah Alav Shiyomus, says this sefer, it's going to come with something very interesting. Person is Nebuch terribly sick and suffering, and he starts having difficulty breathing. So what are we going to do in Shabbos? We're going to call Hatzalah. Hatzalah is going to drive through the neighborhood, turn on their light, be mechallel Shabbos for this guy. But you just told me a second ago that we could daven that he should die. So aren't those two things somewhat contradictory? We're going to have opposing opinions what to do with such a patient. Amazing, we're going to have Hatzalah members running through red lights and turning on their lights and sirens and talking on the phone. And in the next room, there's going to be a million of people doubting that he should die. Doesn't that seem so strange? The answer is yes, but it's not a contradiction. They're not contradictions. As long as he's alive, we have to do everything we can do to preserve his life. And that's our job. But you want to, with regard to tefillah? We could daven that he should die. Tefillah and actions are two separate things. And Reb Shlomo Zalman says, beforeish, I have it on the next booklet. There's two booklets that I put over here. I don't want anyone to get confused. One booklet we gave out last week, we didn't finish, and one booklet we're supposed to get to this week. So one booklet's labeled Inyanim L'Soyv Chayiv, that's the booklet we're doing now. And the second booklet is labeled L'Hispalol Al Choy L'Shiyomus. There are two separate booklets found on the back table. So,
if it's clear that there's a gezerah from Shemayim that this nefesh should die, what's the point of praying? What are we asking?
Well, that's a fundamental question about the power of prayer in any setting. Meaning, if a person's supposed to live, he's going to live. If a person's supposed to die, he's supposed to die. Where does our prayers work their way in?
It's obvious that he's supposed to die.
So we know that that's the power of tefillah. Tefillah has the power to be karein as a gezar, to change what was initially supposed to be. Tefillah can change it. So over here, we're going to use tefillah in the reversal. We're going to daven that this person who's deathly ill, terminally ill, in a lot of pain, should die. Because you know what? This is better for him. At least the way we perceive it. Now again, we can't do anything actively to kill him. What we'll hopefully get to tonight is, can we do things passively to kill him? Let's say, for example, a person is terminally ill and he suffers from diabetes. And if he doesn't take his insulin, he dies. So we just won't give him insulin. That's not murder. That's passive murder. That's what we call shevatas. We'll see what the Achrenim said about that. So the question is, the question is, what do we do with Loi Sam Adam Reach? The Gemara says that the reason why we have to give medical treatment is Loi Sam Adam Reach. We'll see in a few minutes that Reb Chaim Kanevsky discusses, why do I have to daven for a chayla? Is that also because of Loi Sam Adam Reach, or that's merely an act of chesed? Hopefully we'll get to that. But Loi Sam Adam Reach is when there's what to do. If there's nothing really to do, he's really past that stage, so maybe there's no obligation. Good, we're going to talk about it. Yeah, we're going to get to that. How that works with that, we'll see Mefarshim deal with that. So the first question is, do we pass him like the Ran and the Darm? Do we pass like this round that your person has a right to daven for a sick person to die? So the Aruch HaShulchan writes it. Yes. Says the Aruch HaShulchan number 10. He quotes the round of the Dharm and he says like a Talach L'maisa. He says, you're allowed to, sometimes you're allowed to ask Rachman for someone to die if he's suffering. Quotes the Aruch HaShulchan word for word from the round of the Dharm. That seems to mean his way of passing Halach L'maisa, that we have the right to daven for someone to die. So, what's interesting is, in the Tzitz Eliezer makes this observation, although it is brought down by the Aruch HaShulchan, this halacha of the Ran and the Darm is not found, not in Rambam, not in Shulchan Aruch, not in Tur, not in Rosh. So it does ask the question, do we really paskin like this Ran and the Darm? This Ran and the Darm is of the opinion that a person has all the right in the world to daven that someone should die. So the Tzitz Eliezer disagrees with this psak. Tzitz Eliezer thinks one is not permitted to daven that someone should die. And he writes the following. He says, the first thing is, you have to ask yourself, isn't there a clear rai from the Gemara in Ksubis? The maidservant of Rebbe got up and davened that Rebbe should die. So says the Ran and the Darm, that's a riot. Says Tzitz Eliezer, not so fast. Says the Tzitz Eliezer, why are you bringing me a rai from what the maidservant did? Why are you bringing me a rai from what the rabbis did? What did all the rabbis do? They kept on davening. Why were they davening the Rebbe should get better? They should have davened the Rebbe should die. Says the Tzitz Eliezer, from the Rabbanan in that same storyline, you see the opposite. You see that what? You're supposed to daven. Don't stop davening. You always daven. Daven, daven, daven until you get the message that it's over. So therefore, says it to Eliezer, why you bring me a rai from what the maidservant of Rebbe did? Bring me a rai from what the rabbis did, right? That's, you would have assumed you should bring a rai from the rabbis. He says, "When we call shekin she'asal l'spal b'lehepach shi'omus, v'zed isa b'gemara sham d'amsei divrei shokla kudu zar me'igra." The fact that she threw the thing down says she'shtikur abban hariz and machmas she'nevolu me'hadover. They got all nervous. Why did the rabbi stop davening? Not because they were so taken by her argument that you're supposed to daven for people to die. They just got so nervous by the loud noise of breaking glass. Avim Kate. My chazi the samchas hamasha asa amzid rabbi samchamasha asa rabbanim. Says it to Eliezer, why are you paskening from the story of what the maidservant did? It would be more logical to pasken from what the rabbanan did. Therefore, he says, "V'hanu da'achrim she'enam talmidim achrei mutal mispal." So therefore, that's one of his rights. So, no, she wasn't Jewish. So we're going to talk about that. It's a funny riot. We're being a riot from what a guy did. She does whatever she wants. You know, this is the riot. This is the big against. Not only that, it's against what the rabbis did, the rabbanim did. That's one tiny that Tzitz Eliezer has. Then he has another tiny number 12. He says, "V'oidzis yeshit of loy medurabeinu akodeshani." Again, who you bring me a rai from? That we daven that Rebbe should die. So who adin? I have the right to daven for a neighbor, for a family member, that they should die. I see that they're suffering and we can't do anything to help them. So I'll help them through my power of tefillah. He says that's not a rai. Why? He says, because Rebbe, Abinu HaKadosh Shani, Shemiroiv Kudushasa, Hil Mushlom, Hil Mugmar, Vatikin Ba'alom, Hil Komasha, Yitzarach, Kval Atakin. You know what? When Rebbe went, when it was time for Rebbe to die, he was ready to die. He accomplished all that he accomplished in this world. He was a dover. He was an ish Muslim. He's ready to move on. But the rest of us, we never know what we could still do in this world. So yes, you look at this guy in a bed, and to him you look like, what's he here for? You don't know what he's accomplishing. Maybe he's still doing things. He hasn't yet completed his tafkid ha-chaim. Then he points out, he says, first of all, no one else brings this around in the Dharm. The last group of lines, he writes, "Dvarim elu shall aran vayetz mem la'alocha lehu v'loy betur v'naisi kelim v'loy b'shulchan aruch v'naisi kelim." It's not brought down anywhere, except he found it in the Tveris Yisrael HaMishnayis, and therefore he thinks from the fact that no one else brings it down, says Eliezer, we do not paskin like this ran in the Dharm. Therefore, one does not have the right to daven that someone who is sick should die from their sickness and therefore no longer have to suffer. He then concludes at the end of his piece, in number 13, he says, what about the Aruch HaShulchan? It's an Aruch HaShulchan. You can't just throw away the Aruch HaShulchan. Again, the Aruch HaShulchan in Europe, and the Tzitz Eliezer lived in Eretz Yisrael, but the Aruch HaShulchan in Europe carried so much weight. How did he just throw it away? So he writes number 13 on page 3, Al-Koponim b'negel n'yenenu, I the Aruch HaShulchan, but son of Inu Shagam HaBal Chikkei Leiv. He quotes from the Chikkei Leiv, That was the this one of the Sfaradish Paiskim. He also was matrit, but he had a condition. He says you can only daven for someone to die if you have no skin in the games. You're not affected by his situation. Let's say you have a family member who's been at this person's bed for every moment of the last 5 years of his life. And it takes a toll. For anyone, I'm sure many of you have been through this procedure where you're caring for a loved one, it takes an unbelievable toll on your life. So said the Chikilev, what's going to happen? You're going to daven that they should die. Why? Because you don't want them to suffer. But there's a little bit, maybe a little bit, subconsciously, of you saying to yourself, no, Baruch Shepetrani. You know, I don't have to be here all day. I can get back to my life. I can be back home with my family. I don't have to sleep in the hospital on Shabbos. Again, no one's doing it consciously, but subconsciously, there might be a little bit of you that's saying that. So if I said the Chikilev, you know who could daven for people to die? People that are not affected by you. By his, you know, it's very nice you want him to die because you're awaiting the big Yerusha. Or you're waiting for die because, you know, now you can move on with your life and you remarry. Or whatever the Cheshbainas are. So if it says yes, that's the Chikilev's opinion. That a person's only allowed to daven for another person to die if there is nothing that you have relevant that you can gain. Even Tipa Shebiyam, that you can gain from his death. You have a neighbor. You're seeing him suffer. You visit people in the hospital. You don't know them. There's nothing for you to gain. There's no pay gain for you. Then you can daven. But if it's a close family member where there's perhaps some form of connection, then it would not be permitted. He says children can't daven for their parents, spouses can't daven for each other, none of that. That's all too questionable, and none of that should be done. He ends up concluding that Cicely thinks, but you can't daven at all. Don't daven at all. He doesn't think that's correct. Now the truth is there seems to be at least two Gemaras in Shas that seemed to be a very strong raya that one is permitted to daven that someone should die. One is the very famous Gemara in Tainus, number 14, Tav Chav Gimel, the famous story about Cheni Amagel. What was the famous story? Cheni Amagel was always bothered by the pasuk that we say on Shabbos, She'a Malus B'Shev Hashem Es Shiva Sin or Yinu Kecholmim. That Shiva Sin was like a dream. So he says, who dreams for 70 years? Who sleeps for that long? So the Gemara tells us the famous story that he went to sleep and he woke up 70 years later. And he comes to the town and no one remembers who he was and the whole world is upside down. Can you imagine if a person came 70 years ago to the world today? It's a whole different world today. Right? Technology and all these other things. Tell someone 70 years ago Donald Trump was president. They'll look at you totally like you're crazy. You don't even have to go 70 years for that. But okay, whatever it was. So the Gemara tells us he was all ice mensch. He couldn't handle such a world. So at the end of the Gemara says, so what happens? So he says he can't, he has no friends. Famous comment from the Gemara, Oy chavrusa, oy misusa. He's got no one to talk to. He has no friends, no one to learn from. So we'll just skip to the end of the last two lines. So what happens? So he says, Cholish daite. He got depressed. Boy Rachame Umes. He damn it Hashem. That what am I gonna be here for? I serve no purpose in this world and he died. Omarova, Hainu Daminchi, Oy Chavrusa, Oy Misusa. If a person doesn't have friends, doesn't have who to associate with, then it's almost death. So it says that, what do you see from this Gemara? You see that he davened that he should die. He said, what am I going to do in this world? I have no one to talk to. I have no friends. It's a whole different world. It's a topsy-turvy. Take me away. Kosh Baruch Hu listened. So this is a raya that you are allowed to daven that a person should die. This is Gemara number one. What's Gemara number two? This is another interesting Gemara about Metzia. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yochanan was so distraught over Reish Lakish's passing. He was, again, they were brother-in-laws and they were chavrusas and sparring mates. So he was so depressed over the loss. So the Gemara tells us he kind of became a little crazy, and he was. And they daven. Also, the last line of the Gemara says, the rabbis were watching what happened to Rabbi Yochanan, and they daven that he should die. The Noch Nafshe, and he died. So you have two Gemaras l'chayre that give off the impression that one is permitted to daven. So there's a chayre kasha. Why doesn't the Ran Adar bring down any of these Gemaras? So if you look over here, number 16, the Shevet Halevi quotes from the Chibina Rav. The Chibina Rav asks this kasha. He says, why didn't the Ran Adar feel the urge to back his opinion up with these two Gemaras? So the Shevet Halevi gives an interesting answer. He says that the Gemara with Rabbi Yochanan is b'chol ma'araya because Rabbi Yochanan became crazy. To live as a crazy person, maybe it's taka better to die. But just because, you know, you don't have any friends and things like that, but if a guy becomes a clinical shaita, says the Shevet Halevi, for Adam God like a B'yechlan to become a shaita, that there's no life in it. For Oy Dinifta Mitzvahs. He says he can't do any mitzvahs because he's a shaita. I, what do you mean? We value the life of a shaita. a person who's clinically proven to be mentally ill, avadu machal Shabbos for him. Ah, he's not mechuyev in any mitzvahs. Says the Pshimul Vazik, Ashabir heitev beber alocha, beber heitev beber alocha. Om yesh chiluk beinizin zan dehase b'yechel duchala tayun espar shal yadoi nichalei ba'atme delomus v'yechel kishayt chazm shalom amizah. For Reb Yechel, whose whole life was Torah, not to be able to learn Torah, then there's taka no reason for him to live. V'arizet doy mimam mishlo amr of the Gemara and Tainus. The espar lochini amaga rachem alatme shiyamas mitam oichavus hamisusa. The kavuchaim shal lasin shayter. Says Rishmul Vaz, not all cases are the same. Just because a person is suffering, that's not the same thing as a Yechiron. Or that's not the same thing as Chene Magal having no friends. You have to take each case by case. You don't see from any Gemara Mefurish that just because you're in uncomfortable and the future seems bleak, you have the right to daven that someone should die. So therefore, says Rishmul Vaz, that these two Gemaras are not a riot at all, and that's exactly why the Ran Adarim didn't bring it down. According to the Ran Adarim, Yutaka could daven for anyone, as long as he's uncomfortable. But there's no raya from these two gemaras.
Yonah,
that's another one. They bring that raya as well. Yeah, they bring a raya from Yonah and Eliyahu as well. That's correct. Nishmas Avram points out these two rayas. Yeah, that's true. Those are two good rayas as well. So how do we paskin? Allah l'maisa, believe it or not, I can imagine that this would come up. How do we paskin? So Rav Moshe writes a couple of tshuvas about this. And the truth is, it's not so clear to me exactly what Rav Moshe's opinion was. I have it over here on the next page. We'll see. It's really in the next booklet. We'll see what Rav Dava Feinstein says on the matter, but we'll just read Rav Moshe inside. I apologize if we're going faster than usual, because we're trying to cover a lot of material in a very small amount of time. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, Nigris Moshe number 17, writes the following. He says, even though the Ran says, Shepomim tzarech lespalos sheyomos kishuhu toiv la'achoylo, fuhurak b'chi agavdosh and eskablo tfilos derabonon shelanin shedir esenu l'shech zeh, says the Rav Moshe Feinstein, this whole Gemara with the Ran and the Darim is not really negiah halacha l'maisa. That was only back then for the people of the generation. So only very few people have the power to use this trick of Amsa de Rebbe. If there are those such people, they could follow the Ran. Says Rav Moshe, the whole question is only for davening. There's no tzar in the world, says Rav Moshe, that you can actually do something to end their life. This is euthanasia. Says Rav Moshe, you have no permission to kill someone, even if it's benefited for them. It doesn't make a difference what your intention is. You can have the purest of intention, you're as guilty as anyone who killed for the wrong reasons. Rav Moshe Sternberg writes in the Tshuva, number 18, it's actually two contradictory tshuvas, number 18 and 20. They're in two different parts of the sefer. But number 18 writes, "V'nir shemutal espal rak shakolish baruch hu ya'azi shi'a toivloi." Moshe Tembach says, "Why are you davening that he should die? Why are you just davening that it should be good?" V'zeu she'atzvila amse de rebbe she'akofu aliyim v'stachtonim v'ainu shiratzan abayish baruch she'iskayim v'lodot tzvias tachmim she'yichya b'yisurim. The davening doesn't have to be that he should die. Why can't the davening just be that he doesn't suffer? Ulechei nusach atzvila ro hu she'yad kolish baruch hu chayish she'yisbol yaser. Why don't you just daven? Don't daven that he should die. Daven that he shouldn't suffer anymore. Which, again, in English might mean either he dies or the pain subsides. Ketzad, kifid ratzak hashbarchu. Oy shiyomos, oy shirapo yisai. Why do you have to daven that he should die? Why can't you just daven that he shouldn't be in this predicament? Such a nicer, you know, a way of doing it. Akoponim yadu shal yizboid. Aval ein lespal lehedish shiyomos. It's not right to daven openly that he should die. After nirishayin tikva v'seyvel harbi. Even though there's really no hope. You should have Hashem should help him that he shouldn't have to take so much. He thinks that's even what the Amsid Rebbe davened. Amsid Rebbe didn't daven that he should die. Amsid Rebbe said that El Yonim should win. So what does that mean? Whatever that means, either he'll suffer less, or he'll die, or he'll get better, or whatever it is, but just make the situation get better. Then he quotes Reb Shmuel Rozovsky, the Rashiv of Panovich, who was Bikesh Mivakrov Be'es Machlose Achreina. He asked those that came to visit him in his last sickness, Sheis Baal Shagash Baruch Yefridenu Min HaYisurim. Hashem should separate him from pain. Ubir Sheyochel Eskayim, Oy Aidei Sheyazev, Oy Sheyisurim Yazevu. Right? There's two ways that can happen. But don't daven openly that you should die. I think this is a very nice mahalach. You should daven that the person should be able to, he should stop suffering. If either that means he's not going to be in this world, or that means Hashem should take away the pain and suffering. However, in another tshuva, Moshe Shtemach writes beforeish, Kishem argishim tza'aroi shenoyru mo'oid, if you're feeling pain is terrible, vein sichu shiachlim, There's no hope of getting better. He thinks he's not a good daven openly like the Ran Adorim that he should die. Reb Shlomo Zalman, in number 19 of Minchas Shlomo, writes, "Nirin is dating Shafilu Machoilu Mitzdar Habe Boifin Kazeh." She mitzad Halach a mitzvah Levakei Shalav Shiyomus. Let's say a patient is in a terrible situation; they are so uncomfortable, they're suffering terribly. To which it would be a mitzvah to daven for them, like the Ran. Gam mikomakin gam ba'oisin shosh Levakei Shum Espalo Shachoilu Yomus. Gam kein chayv les asik batzalose. You're davening; it's amazing. You're davening that he should die while you're helping him live a little longer. That was the Ha'aru we mentioned earlier. It seems to be contradictory, the answer to Shlomo Zalman. It's not contradictory. We have to do both things. You can have a minion in the next room davening that he should die, while the Hatzalah team is working with him, the doctors are working to bring him back and allow him to live a few more minutes. It seems to be very contradictory. Nonetheless, it works together. Once we're talking about davening for Cholim, let's just talk about a side shaila. What happens if a person is terminally ill and there is no cure for their illness? Should you daven for them? This is a question people ask. I've gotten this question before. People that are terminally ill, they have stage 4 or 5, whatever it may be, cancer. That's not happening. There is no cure. So what are you davening for? Is that a tefillah shav? Is that a waste of a time? A person davens that a boy should become a girl should be a boy. It's too late. Well, today they can make that happen also. But again, it used to be that that was too late. It was what it was. So is that a tefillah shav? Is davening for someone who is no way going to get better considered a tefillah shav? So that's something that Achronim talk about. If you look in the Sefer Pe'er Hador, that's the Sefer written about the Chazanish's life. So the Chazanish made the following comment. B'mikri shel adam sheposhta by machlas ha-sirton. Someone that had cancer. We mentioned last time, sirton is cancer. Shenechshav der klal choyshech merapa. There's no cure. It's a horrible thing to hear, but that's often what the patients hear. The doctors tell them there's nothing they can do. Noyag loyma b'chozoi tzarech l'spal she'is rapa. Says the Chazanish, you still have to daven, you should get better. Ein zu tefillah shav. Says the Chazanish, that is not a waste of a tefillah. Because every minute and every second they might be able to come up with a cure for cancer. There's always hope. What do you mean there's no hope? Davin, they should get better, which means they should... Well, you really davin, they should come up with a cure for cancer. And hopefully they will. And again, Chaznish wrote this 80 years ago. And every day we're hoping that they'll come up with cures and be able to manage it and things like that. Therefore, says the Chaznish, there's no such thing as a waste. Well, what's the waste? Keep on davening, keep on davening, keep on davening. You have nothing to lose. Very important, hashkafik, and not only hashkafik, but halachic analysis as well. Shlomo Zalman writes in the Sefer Alicha Shlomo, "Umikomak mahadrich Rabbeinu shloi laharbis betfilas rabim bepirsim im karnes yaisu harifim l'rapas esachel b'darki ateva." Said Shlomo Zalman, "Don't make these public tefillas for people that alpi derech ateva are not going to get better. A person, you know, you often hear about a person who was just diagnosed with a terminally ill. So what can we do now? So we'll have a knesses. We'll all get together and daven." Said Shlomo Zalman, "Why? It's too late." It was decreed that he's not going to survive. Afilu gavin rabba, kim lo ya'anu b'tfilosam v'lo yisrape, yesh lochos l'rifin chasushon b'nyon emuna. He thinks it's going to backfire. What's going to happen? This guy, Pidech, never supposed to die. So we're going to gather everyone together in shul, we're going to pour out our hearts, and he's not going to be answered. Everyone's going to say, why should we daven? If Ramadan was worried about the ill effect of the other way. Davening for someone who's not supposed to live is going to turn people off from davening. So he writes, v'hoyru l'sholim, shabichi agavin yispalo sheyitav l'choyle v'yitav m'shmachle. You know what you should daven? It should be good. It should be good for the family. It should be good for the choyle. Don't daven, it should get better. Because it's not, it might not happen. And there might be a tefillah shav. There's a fundamental machloikas achroinim between the Chazanish and Shlomo Zalman, how to look at those that are very sick. Unbelievable idea. According to Shlomo Zalman, you should daven. But don't, again, I don't know why Shlomo Zalman wasn't open to the idea you should daven like the Chazanish said. Daven that he should come up with a cure for cancer. I think that should be a nice tefillah. But if Shlomo Zalman said daven that it should be good, daven that the family shouldn't suffer as much, or daven that the family should be able to cope with it. But there's what to do, but don't daven that he should get better, because that might be begeder tefillah shav. If we turn to the last page, Reb Shmuel Vosner also discusses this shayla, and we'll talk about this more in Mitzvah Shem in the next book in a second. Shlomo Zalman said, "Im yesh afilu tikva kol duhu bevadei mitzvah l'spalim." If there's even a small glimmer, small chance. Avum l'chol aders afso kol tikva. According to all opinions, all hope is lost. Need the kasev Iran the muta afilu spala achil mesukim mistar habshiyomus mikom okam ein dov nitin zanish rishus biyad kol adam. We don't have the right to daven. Vegam ha'poiskim leviu dov zem bepiskim vegam itachim shachrim shushol aleim kvoid need leim mispab mikom le. He says about kibin shein achuz tikva lefi rois ein vazdom rak itachim derech nesi itachim the need leim spala shemos kosh laaris. He says a guy is all hope. The doctors say nothing's going to happen. So he can't daven that he should die, but he says, but it's not supposed that he could daven that he should get better either. kind of stuck, says Reb Shmuel Hosler. You can't daven that he should die because we don't go like the round of dawn. But you can't daven that he should get better. It's a tefillah shav. We don't look for Nisim. We don't daven for Nisim. It's a very, very, this is a very funny, a fundamental hashkafic question. Which again, someone asked me this a few months ago, a Talmud of mine asked me about such a shayla. It seems to be a big machlokes acharonim. I think the best thing would be like Reb Shlomo Zalman suggested, or like the Chazanish. I'm not davening necessarily he should get better. I'm davening that they should come up with a cure for his sickness, or that he should suffer a little less, or that the family should cope with it a little better. If you look in the Sefer Shiurei Torah L'Roifim, we mentioned this many times, Reb Zilberstein does continue to give many lectures to doctors. Many doctors, I know in America, will go to Eretz Yisrael for a week or two, and they will hear nonstop lectures from Reb Zilberstein about all the medical knowledge with halacha. So he said the following idea. He says, number 24, again, keep in mind, Reb Zilberstein was son-in-law by Reb Eliashiv. Okay, so he writes it this. We now know what the Chazanish held on this. Now we'll see it all make somewhat sense. U'maisa ba'odam sha'over aroi moichi kasha. Some form of a serious brain injury. He's going to turn into a vegetable. Ash a vegetable. No hope. I asked my father, Rabbi Yashiv, can I daven for this fellow in Rafa'inu? What's the refuah? There is no refuah. The Heshiv Gam Madova Begadu Nes said Rabbi Yashiv, even if it's going to take a miracle. The Rifa'inu can help for something. So here Rabbi Yashiv is signing a little bit like Reb Shlomo Zalman, a little bit like the Chazanish. You can't ask for miracles. You can't ask that Al Pi Derech HaTeva he's just going to get up one day. You can't. That's a tefillah shav. You could ask that whatever can be done for the patient should be done for the patient. V'gisi and my brother-in-law, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Sieper told me, Shematzinu lepo'omim sh'odim ha'mukhuna tzemech, tzemach is'ayru mecholyov. Reb Chaim Kanievsky says it's not true. I've seen it. It's happened. There's stories of people that were mamish vegetables and they got better. He thinks it's not really an ace. There are medications that we are not familiar with. So again, this seems to be this fundamental machloik is how do you look at a patient who, based on the medical knowledge that we have right now, and the doctors are saying there is no cure, he will not get it better, he will not be healed, do we say, it's still kedai to daven that he should be recovered? So if we turn to the next booklet that is labeled as Spalul al Choyle Sheyomus. This is the continuation of the discussion of davening for those that are al pi derech hateva not going to get better. So in the Sefer Orchas Rabbeinu, this is a Sefer written about the stipler. So he writes like this: Moivir Rebbe, Amali, the stipler told me, Sha'av she'atfila al chayla b'mechla sirtoin, davening for someone who has cancer, ze begeder nes. It's really a shayla of nes. Person has stage 4. That's uncurable. He's not going through chemo. It's already past that. Nebuch. There are so many stories that we hear of where a person finds out that he has he or she has this sickness, and we say, what can we do now? What's our role? Can we daven for them? Should we daven for them? Says the stipler, they can live with cancer. Here's a third possibility. They can live with their sickness. Not that we're going to come up with a cure to cancer, but they'll live as long as they can with their sickness. He says, the next question they asked the stipler was, what about the ran nedarim? So the stipler wasn't exactly taking sides with this stipler, because with the ran, because again, the ran is only minority opinion in the Rishon.
The stipler's not addressing the opinion of the suffering.
That's right, he's not getting it. He's just saying that we should daven because let the person daven, that he should live as long as he can. Not again, we're not going to cure cancer, but let the person live as long as he can with cancer. That's what we could daven for. Then he says another story. He quoted from the Chazanish. This we saw already earlier from the Chazanish. Chazanish told you a lot of daven for someone with cancer. That was the Chazanish Shita. V'sha'alti is Moiv Rebbe im also the spal al nes. Is it us to daven on Nes? Finally, ain't none rishus l'spal on Nes. We don't have the right to daven for a miracle. K'may al tchilas amesim. Shem ain't trufa b'teva havikim espal al tchilas amesim. Says the stipler, if there is no al piderech hateva cure, then davening for a cure is davening for a miracle. Oikim espal al ketu eves yitzameach lebechazar. Or a person nebuch lost a body part. You daven that it should grow back. That's a tefillah shav. What are you going to do? That's the famous word from Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik has a kasha. Why didn't Avraham Avinu and Sarah daven that they should have a baby? Why was it the first couple in Jewish history to daven for a baby was Yitzchak and Rivka? Why didn't Avraham Avinu and Sarah daven? So Reb Chaim Soloveitchik said, because Avraham Avinu and Sarah knew al pi derech ha-teva, there's no way she can have a baby. She had no rechem. Said Avraham Avinu, said tefillah shav. That's a waste of a davening. You can't daven for a miracle. But Yitzchak, Rivka was regular. She was akara in lavo. She was normal. She had what they call today unexplained infertility. So that you daven for. When al pi derech ha-teva, everything is where it's supposed to be. And just like Kadosh Baruch Hu's not giving you what's supposed to happen. That you daven for. But something which is against teva, you can't say this type, you can't grow a body part back. That's already tefillas shav, and therefore we don't daven for that. Then he says another story from the Archas Rabbein, or another story with Rev Sirotskin, who's the Rashivan tells in America, that for 10 years the doctor has told him that he has cancer. For also the Akaronos, he did the procedures, he did the, you know, whatever he needs to do. Ukaovers man zenelam the gamri. They gave up. And the doctors were amazed how he survived. If Kadosh Baruch Hu sends the refu, anything can happen. So he writes, he goes to the same shebang, if you're allowed to daven. He says, if you're allowed to daven. He says, you're allowed to daven. And he brings right from this Rev Shinigrid, he had throat cancer, for 30 years. He lived 30 years with throat cancer. So says the Chazinish, you can live. Don't take the doctor's words as halach l'moshe m'sim. That was the opinion of the Chazinish. In the Sefer Darkei Chaim V'Shalom, they quote from the Divrei Chaim, the great Sanze Rebbe of the mid-1800s. He had an interesting idea. He came up with the following, we'll call it a pshara. He said, if someone is terminally ill, al pi derech ha-teva, he's not going to get better. So you can't daven b'peh that he should get better. He said the following. I'm sorry, he said, you can't daven that he should die. He says, Sha'arayfim amru noyish l'chayiv al pi derech ha-teva, oz ein mispal lov b'peh, sh'alitin mokim l'mekatrik. He said, the rat in the darim you can't do openly, but you can think it. He says, al davish yitzorach lovi rak b'derech neif, ach tzorach l'spal oy b'machshov b'vad, v'yedeh machshov yisbarach yishalach rufo v'rech b'azit. He says, you're not allowed to daven openly. You can't say, please cure this patient of ALS. You can't, it's a tefillah shav. But you're allowed to think it, you're allowed to hope it, you're allowed to believe in it, but you're not allowed to verbally express it. They asked Chaim Kanevsky, if someone is sick and you're daven for them, what is your obligation? Is your obligation lo yisamer al dam reyecha, or your obligation al chesed v'after reyecha kamoich? And Chaim Kanevsky answered, the number three, tshuva mishum chesed. He thinks it's al chesed. Okay? Interesting idea. Yakut Yosef, Rabbi Avad Yosef's son, Paskins, like the Ran and the Darm. He writes the number four, you can't pull a plug. You cannot pull the respirator. You can't pull any of the plugs. It's mutter to daven that he should end his suffering and he should die. Don't do this unless you have permission from a great rabbi. You should know all the situation. And then he quotes in brackets what we saw from the Chikei Lev, but it should not come from a family member. It should only come from someone on the outside. And then he says an unbelievable story. He quotes a story about his father. He writes, I remember about 30 years ago, one of the wealthy people in the community that knew my father, for about, it's a long time. The doctors gave up. And the wife was never stuck in this marriage to a husband who was a vegetable. So, the Rebbe Avad Yosef Paskin, who more in shlita bikish ma'avrecheish v'sein chazon avadjo, and Rebbe Avad Yosef asked from some of the members of our yeshiva, sheyavo asar lebeis acholim bo hu me'ushpaz, bring 10 people from the yeshiva, v'yispalu sove lemitosi seder atvila niskir k'desh yamos. They brought 10 people to his room that they should daven that he should die. V'yispalu umar in atzma yishtatev imonu bois atvila. And Rebbe Avad Yosef joined the tvila. Can you imagine the 10 people around this guy's deathbed with the medical staff davening that he should die? For Ochin Israqshus Kedoyla Achazo Bnoi Beisatilo, Immoran Liad Mita Choyle, Shoyodam Tsor Mechusra Koro, For Ochin Leover Zman, Vahish Niftel Beis Alamai. it didn't take too much longer, and this fellow died. So, and the woman was permitted to get remarried. Maaser Rav, Ravad Yosef actually did it. Again, I'm never suggesting that anyone should do this, but there is such an opinion out there. There is such an opinion. Again, anytime we deal with these types of shahs, they should be handled very, very sensitively, very carefully, before we make any major halachah maisa. Rabbi Menashe Klein is of the opinion that it's a mitzvah. He thinks it's a mitzvah to daven for one who is deathly ill. However, they quote from Rabbi Eliashiv in number 6, that Rabbi Eliashiv thought two chedushim. First of all, he writes, number 6, V'chein shemanu migdoli hiroa shetomid, yesh espala achilu b'chomatvi, should always daven, sheyichye v'yivre, v'afilu yesh lo yisurim gedoyle mispal shelo yelo yisurim. Daven that he shouldn't suffer. He quotes this b'shem Rabbi Eliashiv. So again, Rabbi Eliashiv wasn't very keen on the Ran and the Darim. The other chiddush of Rabbi Yashiv was ulam ka'omer lemaisa noigim espal bepeg gam al anes. We daven for miracles. Do we know? Maybe there's some guy sitting somewhere in India that has a cure for cancer. Just no one knows, and no one brought him. So therefore, Rabbi Yashiv was of the opinion daven for everything because nothing is beyond medical advancements in this world. Okay. Page 2 is a psak, again, I urge you to read it yourself, is Rav David Feinstein's take on what exactly one is permissible to do with regard to the world of tefillah, with regard to what his father passed. But I want to at least get to a little bit of a DNR, so this way we're not lying when we said that tonight's share is supposed to be about DNR. Now, we mentioned earlier, we're on page 2 of that second booklet that was handed out. We mentioned earlier that in halacha we value Jewish life. Even though to the naked eye it would seem like not much of a life, we value Jewish life to the umpteenth degree, to the point that we're even mechal the Shabbos. Says the Aruch HaShulchan in number 8, this is what the Mechaber talks about, that a geisis, someone who's on his deathbed, someone who's terminally ill, is about to die, you're not allowed to do anything that could perhaps, potentially, cause him to die a minute earlier. You say, what's the difference? He's going to die. He dies at 8 o'clock, 8:05. No. We have no right to do anything to hasten someone's death. And the Aruch HaShulchan goes on to explain, where he writes at the end of the piece, number 8, he writes, Mikol Mokim, Osu Lonu Lasis Dova Lekarav Misasa. We are not allowed to do anything to hasten his death. Va'oilom Umuloy Yeshua Kodesh Baruch Hu. We're not the Pilum on this world. Who are we to take life? The Kach Ritzayni is Barach. The Koshkin Sha also lasik boide ba'orin, the Tachrichim, the Kru boidechai. You're not allowed to take care of any, the Shulchan Aruch writes, any of the prep for after death cannot take place while a person is dying. You say to yourself, what do you mean? Let me call up the funeral home. Let's get the Kvura going. No. It's an interesting halacha. We should never know of it, but the Shulchan Aruch passes because one is not allowed to be metapel within Yoni Kvura until the person is dying, until the person is dead. There is no right. There's two reasons given, either because the patient might hear and it's going to make him die, or Stamazel al pikabol, it's not good, but halachol maisa. The only exception might be for example, let's say Friday, and you want to make sure that if you make the phone calls before, you might be able to get the kefura done before Shabbos and won't be a zilzal lemeis, maybe then. But other than that, we have no permissibility whatsoever to take care of any, and even if you want to talk amongst family, it's really better not to. And if you're going to do it, definitely don't do it in front of the patient. Because as much as we think they don't hear, they might hear, it might affect them. So it's really good to not talk about these things until one must talk about these things. Okay. So the question is, what do we do, halacha l'maaseh, with a person who is terminally ill, they're not going to get better, and it's just a question of how long are we going to let them live in this situation. So again, any of these shailas that come up, a person must speak to a rav who's well-versed in these shailas, who's well-known, knows these shailas, and as well with a doctor who's well-versed in all the medical nekudas. There's an organization from Aguda today. It's called Arichas... what's it called already? Chaim Aruchim. Chaim Aruchim, which was a branch of Aguda, where they deal with this. They have Rabbanim trained, medical professionals trained, that you, if one needs, one should never need them. They will guide you about all these different types of issues. Well, again, but we're just going to talk very, very general about how this exactly works. So again, what is the issue? We have a person who is terminally ill and they're suffering. So again, we can't pull the plug, but what can we do? So there's a Ramah in Yeridea, which is very, very hard to understand what he means. The Ramah is talking about a patient who's a crisis. So Ramah goes to what we mentioned earlier. You're not allowed to talk about the Kvura, you're not allowed to do anything. And then he throws in an interesting line over here. He says, the last two lines of the larger print in the Ramah, number 9. He writes, V'chein osu lirgum lemeis shiyomus meherok, yoy mishu hu geisis man aruch. Let's say you have someone who's a geisis for a long time already. V'yuchli parit. But for some reason, it's not going. The neshama is not jumping out of his heart. So osu lishtame takar v'akesis takhli. You're not allowed to move the pillow from under his head. Because maybe there's certain feathers in the pillow that might do it. I mean, this guy's been holding out for so long, but if you move the feather of the pillow and the reaction to the feathers of the pillow to his head, that can kill him. You're not allowed to do it. There used to be a minhag that they'd put the keys of the shul under his head to get him to die. You're not allowed to do that. So he writes, "Avol im yesh sham davish gairim ikov yitzias nevesh." But let's say there's something that's causing him not to die. Keep going. Sheish somach lo ise bayis kol dayfik. The person's in a hospital, and across the street they're doing construction. So every single time he's about to die, he hears the banging, and that somehow keeps him alive. Strange thing. So he says, "Kigoyin chaytiv etzim." They're chopping wood. Oishiyesh melach al lushoine. They have salt on his tongue, and this salt is what's keeping him alive. The ilu ma'akvim yitzias hanefesh motor lahasiroi. Says Rama, take it away. Sham de aim b'zeh ma'isek kol. That's not like killing him. Elisha meisir hamoineya. Very, very difficult Rama to understand. Says Rama, you're not allowed to move him a bit because moving him might kill him. But if you know that the guy banging on the hammer is keeping him alive, so what would we have thought? Bang forever! Keep on banging, because that's what's keeping him alive. Says Rama, no problem. You're allowed to tell him to stop banging, and this will cause him to die. So how do you make heads or tails of this Rama, and how does this Rama play out halacha l'maase? So Rav Moshe...
like a life support.
So there are those who tell you this is mamash life support. This is the same thing as life support. So Rav Moshe tell you that's not pshat in the Rama. Rav Moshe learned, first of all, this whole Rama is talking about where the patient is suffering. Doesn't say that in the Rama. But Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva is that the whole hacha b'maya skin on this whole discussion is only when there's pain to the patient. If there is no pain, no heter. So Rav Moshe brings out this idea that Rav Moshe is of the opinion for those that are terminally ill and there's no cure and they're suffering, you don't have to do procedures. Don't do procedures. You're not mechuyev to do a procedure, to go out and do a transplant. You don't have to do that. No procedures are required for someone who's terminally ill and who is in pain. But, says Rav Moshe, and this is the opinion of Rav Shlomo Zalman, you have to give them all the regular things that they need. You must continue oxygen. You must give food. Rav Moshe says you have to put in a feeding tube. You have to do all that. But you don't have to do extra procedures if it's not going to give them a new chance in life. If, let's, for example, there's a procedure that's not going to cure them, says Rav Moshe, you don't have to do the procedure. That was Rav Moshe Shita. Again, this is assuming that they are in a lot of pain. Reb Shlomo Zalman was also of that opinion, but Reb Shlomo Zalman said you must give them, every patient must get oxygen, food. Says Reb Shlomo Zalman, if they're diabetic, they have to get their insulin, because one could have argued, maybe not giving the insulin is like telling the guy to stop chopping the wood. Says Reb Shlomo Zalman, no. Anything that's normal, you have to keep on doing. Reb Shlomo Zalman's opinion, anything that's normal, you have to keep on doing. So let's say, for example, the patient's on antibiotics. So you say to yourself, let's just stop the antibiotics. They'll die from the infection. And Shamalai Nashi. Says Reb Shlomo Zalman, nope, you're not allowed to do that. A person must do whatever is considered normal. You don't have to do a massive procedure. That, like Rav Moshe holds, you don't have to do a massive procedure. You don't have to do any major, major things, but you have to give him whatever he needs to sustain what normal people get. Then there's the opinion of the Tzitz Eliezer. Tzitz Eliezer says, absolutely not. You have to do everything and anything that you can do. You have to do everything. You got to push it to the highest degree. And he says, and if you don't, you're a Ritzayach. Either Ramah says it's this. Ramah is talking about a case where a guy is going to die in a minute. Not a terminally ill patient. Terminally ill patient can live terminally ill for a long time. That's not what the Ramah was talking about. So that's really the two camps. You have Reb Shlomo Zalman, who's the most, Reb Shlomo Zalman of Moshe, versus the Tzitzli. But if you just look at the last page, Nishmas of Ram gives you five conditions that need to be met before one writes their DNR. He says, first of all, you have to make sure that it's not curable. It has to be that the person's suffering, and you have to have a psak halacha mipoisik muvok. That's why if you go, there are two versions of these types of wills that a person can write. There's one from the CRC and one from the Aguda. They basically lay out what you want done when a person is not always of that ability to make that decision. Rav Shechter writes Mefurish that it's not up to the family. It's not a family decision. It's the Chayla's decision. Don't try to make your decision. It's the Chayla. Now, sometimes you don't know what the Chayla wants. So that's what the Chayla is supposed to write. That if I am suffering, I want you to follow Rav Shlomo Zalman or follow Tzitz Eliezer. If not, sometimes according to the way the Aguda's version is, you're going to follow whatever the rabbi says. That's the Agudah's version. The CRC version is a little bit more, not the CRC, the RCA's version is a little bit more medically detailed. But the Agudah's version basically says, I'm trusting Rabbi Pliny, whoever that rabbi will be, and he'll make all the halachic decisions as he sees fit. But these shahs often come up, and then we try to get into the mind of the patient. We don't know the mind of the patient, so the patient should let us know beforehand. This way we can make an appropriate decision what to do. As Rabbi Neuberger gave a share in this, he said, "Bezchus learning these sugyas, hopefully they should never be halachal ma'isa. We shouldn't have to deal with them on a practical level."